Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph Perek Bet, Chapter 2. To recap, Sefer Shmuel comes on the coattails of Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, where the destiny of Bnei Israel is very precarious and relies on Jewish leaders who mostly are filling a vacuum. Sefer Shmuel begins with the transition of Bnei Israel to more stable leadership. It will be a process. The whole transition is the initiative of Chana. She, who is in the depths of anguish, cries out to Hashem, and as a result gives birth to Shmuel, who will be the great leader of his generation. In a sense, Chana is the embodiment of Am Yisrael, bereft, forlorn, and detached, yet reaches out to Hashem in a tenacious way to pray for a child, to pray for continuity and religious significance and closeness to Hashem. And Hashem grants her this child, and she fulfills her promise to consecrate this child to Hashem. Both Chana and Hashem fulfill this brit, this covenant. Just as earlier in Sefer Shoftim, Bnei Israel do not fulfill their covenant of fulfilling their part of the bargain, here Chana represents the turnaround and initiates it with her fervent prayer and reliance on Hashem. Here, as opposed to the Akedah, where Hashem asks Avraham to sacrifice his beloved son Yitzchak to prove his unequivocal loyalty to Hashem, his wholehearted willingness to do so is enough to pass the test of emunah, of faithfulness. Yet Chana is the one who initiates the idea of devoting and consecrating her son's life to learning and becoming the next great leader that Bnei Israel so desperately need. She realizes what Am Yisrael needs at this moment and sacrifices for it. And the rest is history. In our chapter, Perek Bet, we experience Chana's song of praise to Hashem for granting her a child. In Perek Aleph, we saw her prayer from the depths of her soul. And now we're going to see her praise from the depths of her soul, which is prayer in a more happy and triumphant way, but triumphant in a good way. Not that she's arrogant, but her happiness that Hashem has helped her. In addition, we will see in this chapter the contrast of Shmuel and Elkanah and Chana as parents and a family unit, and the sons of Eli, Chofni and Pinchas, and their behavior. Shmuel is brought to Shiloh, and he will be raised by Eli. And the sons Chofni and Pinchas are Eli's sons. They are the Kohanim of Am Yisrael. But we see before our eyes the crisis of leadership and religious observance in Am Yisrael. And that's what we're going to see in this chapter. But we'll begin with the song of praise that Chana sings. Vatitpalel Chana vatomar, alatz libi b'Hashem, rama karni b'Hashem, rachav pi aloivai ki samachti b'shuatecha. And Chana prays, my heart exalts in Hashem. I have triumphed through Hashem's actions. I rejoice in your deliverance over my enemies. No one is like Hashem. Ein kadosh ka Hashem, ki ein biltecha ve ein sur kelokenu. There's none beside Hashem, and there is no rock like Hashem. Hashem really is the main source of everything. Anyone who's powerful, it's only because of Hashem. And Hashem can also break the bows of the mighty. And Hashem can turn everything around. Those who were hungry will be hungry no more. Someone who is barren can bear 7 children, and the mother of many can be forlorn. Hashem gives life and death. Hashem will make you poor and make you rich. And Hashem can raise the poor from the dust, and he can seat them in the place of the highest glory. Because Hashem guards the steps of his faithful, and the wicked will perish in darkness. Hashem yechatu merivav, עליו בשמיים ירעם השם ידין אפסי ארץ, ויתן עוז למלכו וירם קרן משיחו. This is the last pasuk. Hashem will destroy all of his enemies, and he will thunder against them from the heavens, and he will judge from the ends of the earth, and he will give power to his king, who will be the anointed one. The Gemara, the Talmud Bavli in Masechet Megillah, in Tractate Megillah, page 14, side A, in Megillah Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, explains. What is this prayer of Chana? What is she saying? The Gemara says that Chana is actually a prophet, not just that she's singing this beautiful song, but she was a prophet, and she prophesied that only those that are anointed with a horn of oil will merit that their kingship will continue, and not those who were anointed with a pach shemen, with a cruse of oil. And this is a prophecy that King David's, HaMelech David's kingship is going to be forever, but not Shaul, who is going to be anointed, but his kingship and his dynasty will not rule forever. The Gemara goes on to say, what about her words, Ein kadosh ka Hashem ki ein biltecha? So the Gemara explains that not only was Chana a prophet, as we see earlier, she also understands the great secrets of the attributes of God. And what are God's attributes? That unlike the attributes of flesh and blood, Hashem, God, outlasts his handiwork. He creates, but he lives forever. What does the Gemara want to say? That Chana understood the intricacies of the infinite nature of Hashem. She is a great philosopher. The Gemara continues, what does she mean when she says, Ve'ein sur kelokeinu? That man fashions a form on a wall, but is unable to endow it with breath and soul. But Hashem can form a fetus inside the form of its mother and endow it with breath and a soul. She understood the greatness of God's power. She understood God's creativity. So the Gemara really wants to show how special Chana is, how insightful she is, what a great thinker she is. In the Gemara, in Masechet Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, in the tractate Megillah, page 31, side A, we see also that when we choose haftorahs, navi, prophet readings, for the special days of the year, for Rosh Hashanah, for the Jewish New Year, we pick this idea, this section, which really develops Chana and her tefillah. Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah, when we want to pray to Hashem, and we want to have a good year, we need to be inspired by Chana, by her story, that even though she felt dejected and she felt that she had no future, she really tries to bridge that chasm between her and Hashem in order to have a better future, in order to come closer to Hashem. And she inspires us on Rosh Hashanah. We have to read her story in the beginning of the new year to know how to start. There's also another idea in the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Kaftet Amud Aleph, in Tractate Brachot, page 29, side A. The Gemara explains that because Chana mentions Hashem 9 times in a very special way in her tefillah, in this prayer that we just read, that the Musaf prayer on Rosh Hashanah, which is so central to the whole prayer on that day, it was inspired by Chana. So all these Gemaras really want to emphasize the greatness of Chana, her prayer, how she inspires us, how she really understands God in a unique way that really helps us understand this great, almighty entity, which really controls our lives. How do we have a relationship? How do we speak to Hashem? How can we pray? Chana is our exemplar. After Chana prays, we saw that she brings Shmuel to study with Eli, and she comes with her husband Elkanah on a regular basis to visit him. And each time she sews him a me'il katon, a small jacket or a coat, to clothe Shmuel when she comes. And it also tells us that Elkanah and Chana have several other children, but they come on a regular basis to visit Shmuel, who is studying with Eli in Shiloh. So what we see from the Pshat of the Tanakh and the interpretations of the Gemara and Midrash, that Chana was a prophetess, a person with great insight into the glorious nature of Hashem. In the beginning, we do not hear her words or voice. She's just crying and feeling crushed. Her ordeal and anguish help her to reach out to God and connect with Him in a way that is inspiring us till this very day. And it changed the trajectory of Jewish history and tefillah and prayer. Her strength is a lesson to all of us. No matter what our personality is or situation, we know we can reach out to God. The rest of the Perek chapter deals with the sons of Eli, who is the Kohen Gadol and the Shofet, the high priest and the judge of the time. His two sons are named Chofni and Pinchas and are a stark contrast to Shmuel, who is becoming a surrogate son to Eli. Eli is Shmuel's teacher and mentor and guide. The father-son relationship is a sharp contrast to Eli's mentor-son relationship with Shmuel. Do some educators succeed better with their students than with their children? Eli's sons Chofni and Pinchas are described as Bnei Blial Lo Yadu Et Hashem. They are without the yoke of heaven and do not know God. They stab their fork into the sacrificial meat and take what they want when people come to sacrifice to God in Shiloh. This is counter to the halacha, counter to Jewish law. The sons also leave the women stranded at the Mishkan, at the Oel Moed, the tent of the meeting, when they come to worship and sacrifice. Eli, who is very old, is disturbed by what he hears, and he says to his sons, verse 23 to 25. Lama ta'asun kadvarim ha'ele, asher anuchi shomea tadvarim haraim me'et kol ha'am. Al banai, lo tova shmua asher anuchi shomea mavirim am Hashem. He says to them, what are you doing? I'm getting evil reports from the people. Don't, my sons, it's not a favorable report that I hear Bnei Israel speaking about you. And he says, Im yachta ish leish ufile lo elokim, v'im la Hashem yachta ish, mi yitpalel lo? V'lo shamu lekol aviyem, ki chafetz Hashem lahamitam. If a man sins against a man, Hashem may pardon him. But if a man offends Hashem, then who will pardon him? But they ignored their father's plea because Hashem was resolved that they should die. Eli speaks to his sons, but not forcefully. He explains to them that if you sin to Hashem, who can help you pray and repent? And the Navi continues and says that Hashem wanted Chofni uPinchas, the two sons, to die because of their actions. Whoa! This is not what we have learned throughout Tanakh. Hashem always wants to forgive you, and you can always pray to God. On Yom Kippur, God forgives you for the sins you have done to Him, Bein Adam LaMakom, between man and God. And it is harder to be forgiven for the sins you commit to your fellow Jews, to fellows, to other people. You must ask them for forgiveness. What is going on here? The Radak and the Malbim explain, and I'm combining the two. The sons were the Kohanim, the priests, who were the judges of Am Yisrael. If they are corrupt, it inserts corruption into the whole system. Sometimes it is important to see evil people get their recompense so that we know there is justice in the world. But God knows that they are non-repentant, and that is why they were decreed to be punished. After such a decree, tshuva, repentance, is possible. But instead of God helping you to repent as a gift, because God always wants you to do repentance, here they will have to initiate the process completely on their own. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah explains, with Torah, Avoda, and Gemilut Chasadim, they can turn over this decree. With learning Torah, with doing the right thing, and being nice to other people, works of charity, they would even be able to overturn this decree. And Isha Elohim, a man of God, Elkanah, according to Rashi, appears to Eli and tells him that his family is desecrating the lofty role for which the Kohanim were chosen. And as a result, his descendants will die young, be poor, and lose the important role that is the family's legacy, to be Kohanim. And what's the sign that this will take place? That the family will lose its place as Kohanim? The death of his two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, on a single day. So how is this all going to play out? To sum up, Hannah was a prophetess, a person with great insight into the glorious nature of Hashem. In the beginning, we do not hear her words or voice. She is just crying and feeling crushed. Her ordeal and anguish help her to reach out to God and connect with Him in a way that is inspiring us till this very day and change the trajectory of Jewish history and Jewish prayer. Her strength is a lesson to all of us, no matter what our personality or situation. But the rest of the Perek deals with the sins and the desecration of the worship at the Mishkan, the tabernacle, that the sons of Eli commit. They are named Chofni and Pinchas and are a stark contrast to Shmuel, who is becoming a surrogate to Eli. Eli is Shmuel's teacher, mentor, and guide. The father-son relationship is a sharp contrast to Eli's mentor-son relationship with Shmuel. Eli's entire dynasty and family will be punished with early death, poverty, and ruthlessness as a result of his son's sins. Will the sons of Eli repent? Will they change the course of this prophecy? Let's see what transpires in Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Frida, Bat Moshe Eliyahu.